Today's program has been brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons, third-generation cure masters producing the country's best dry-cured and aged hams, bacon, and sausage. For more information, visit SurreyFarms.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to No Chefs Allowed. I'm Megan O'Connor, and my cooking in my kitchen in Chicago, and I'm here with my sister, Trisha, who's cooking in her kitchen in Columbus, Ohio. Say hello, Trisha.
Hi, Heritage Radio. It's nice to be back again.
So we did our first show last week on crepes, and I am happy to report that I think I have kind of mastered the crepe, or the crepe, as we Midwesterners call it. But right. We're onward and upward to our next challenge.
Yes, the monthly ingredient challenge, right?
That's right. That's what we're cooking with today. So the monthly ingredient challenge is something Trisha and I have been doing for 2+ years. And basically, we take one ingredient every month, and we work with it for the entire month. Which, you know, we didn't realize at the time how perfect that was. But it turned out to be quite perfect because in our busy lives and the fact that we work and have families and other things besides cooking, having one ingredient a month is very doable. So we both cooked with it for a month and played with it and then served it to our family and friends and had a dinner party.
Yeah, and it was a great way, too, because have you ever, like, tried to do a new recipe or something and you have to buy, like, 7 or 8 new ingredients and then they kind of all go bad or something like that. But with the monthly ingredient challenge, I usually go stock up on the ingredient that is the focus of the month. And so I kind of have it at my disposal and I can play with it all month. And that helps out too because I hate waste. I hate throwing stuff away. And so in general. But that helps too, especially when you're so busy to know that you're going to pick up one ingredient and have it in your kitchen the whole month. Was pretty
yeah,
cool.
So we've it's done pretty some pretty fun stuff, and we've done some pretty gross stuff, I have to admit. I mean, let's
well,
face
wait,
it.
What have we done that you haven't liked? Because this is an interesting thing, too. When we're introduced to new ingredients, at the end of the month, sometimes we like them and sometimes we don't. It's not like every single one is like, oh, that was the best thing that ever happened.
That was so perfect, yeah. No, I learned that I hate mustard greens. I learned that I pretty much hate papaya, although I still try and eat it because it's good for you, but I don't like it, and I don't like cooking with it at all. And I don't like pink peppercorns. I just don't. I want to because they're really cute, and they're pretty, and they're interesting, but I don't like the way they taste.
I didn't have a good month with pink peppercorns either, but it's just because I had started that new job, and I was super busy. And the only time I got to engage in that challenge was like, the last day, and I made a cocktail out of it. That tells you how my month went. That's true. Well, I chugged the cocktail, so I don't even remember what it tasted like. But no, I think I even picked out pink peppercorns. But wait, I can't think of one thing I didn't like. What does that say about me?
I didn't like cooking with artichokes. I mean, I know they're supposed to be, that's another ingredient that's really pretty and all that, but I thought cooking with artichokes was a pain in the neck.
See, I liked them. In fact, I just made them last week.
Did you?
They're very, very tasty. Yes. And I ate them all by myself. try to think of one thing.
I'm a little worried about you and the ingredient challenge. This was supposed to be a way for us to engage with others and try new things. And all I've heard is pink peppercorn cocktail that you took, that you shot by yourself. And now artichokes alone. I'm a little concerned.
By myself. No, actually artichokes, I pulled off the dinner party really well. Segue into the dinner party section of the monthly ingredient challenge. How do you like that? So at the end of our monthly ingredient challenges where we worked with an ingredient, we were supposed to, and we try to, have a dinner party at the end of every month to showcase what we learned with that particular ingredient. Kind of, it started a little Iron Chef-y because, of course, I wanted to have this really elaborate, complicated scoring mechanism so that there could be a winner, if that says something about me. There has to be a winner. It's a challenge, for crying out loud. But it kind of turned more into a fun excuse to get friends together and cook together and showcase our stuff. So artichokes I did. I had the Fisher family over, and I did a whole – I remember it well. The weather was nice, and I did roasted artichokes and this whole crudité plate with some dips. And I'm sure I served them something else, but now I don't remember that part. But
– Well, I think I did artichokes over an Easter dinner. It was spring because artichokes were in season, and I did it for an Easter dinner. And I remember the one thing that I did with artichokes that was fun was I made that thing called a clafoutie. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Clafoutie. Clafoutie.
What is a clafoutie? Tell everyone. What did you learn?
It's a pastry. Usually people put fruit in it, but I did artichokes instead, and it's like it's like a eggy, floury kind of it's more like, I guess mine was more like bread, maybe because I had something artichokes in it instead of fruit, but look it up. Check out the Google. Find out what a clafoutie is. And
anyone has to Google it. I was asking you.
Oh. Well, I can't explain it, so there you go. So hit the Google.
When I looked at the clafoutie, though, I always think of a cobbler-ish type thing. But
yeah,
fancy.
Kind of, but it's readier than that. It's much more dense. But anyway, enough about old ingredient challenges. Let's get on to what's here and now, okay? Today.
Okay, the here and now is buckwheat.
Buckwheat.
Right?
Yes.
I'm excited about it because here's what I've learned so far is it's not a grain. It's not even related to wheat. It's a seed of a flower, and it's more related to rhubarb. So let me tell you what I did with it first. Can I?
Well, you can, except I think it's important that we let people know what the name of our show is today because we're already a few minutes into it and we're chatting away and we haven't even announced the name of the show.
Well, I was kind of skipping it. I was skipping that part and just going into the meat of the show, which is the ingredients.
Well, Otay. Go right ahead.
Otay.
Otay. Which is the name of our show, Buckwheat Otay. And I can't deliver it quite the way Eddie Murphy did, nor the original Buckwheat, but there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. That's the name of our show for today, Buckwheat Otay.
I spent last night when I was writing questions for our guests watching on Hulu some old segments of Eddie Murphy's Buckwheat on when he did Buckwheat. And it was hysterical. I was laughing so hard. So our ingredient is Buckwheat Otay. Okay.
Otay. All right. So go on.
So... it's a gluten-free product, which is kind of cool, and I wanted to bake with it this month, and I wanted to bake with it today, but I'll get into that a little bit later. But the first thing I did was, since I found out it was related to rhubarb, I made a rhubarb pie with it. So I combined it with wheat flour. See, I couldn't get gluten-free baking. I mean, I knew it was complicated, don't get me wrong, but when I wanted to look into it, you know, I didn't have like sorghum gum and I didn't have any rice flour or anything like that. So my pie crust wasn't gluten-free, even though buckwheat is. And so I used half buckwheat flour and half wheat flour and busted out a rhubarb pie. And I will say my 10-year-old son, who is kind of picky about food, loved it. So that was good.
Oh.
Yeah. But have you noticed this since you've been working with it? It's a funny color. Have you noticed
that? Well, I didn't mind the color when I like boiled it and used it as the I guess it's not a grain, the seed, but when I did the buckwheat flour and I made the crepe, it was kind of ugly. You know, not the food has to be pretty, but it was almost
it's a
gray.
Color. Gray food.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Gray food. People don't like gray food.
Because even when I did it with the pie crust, I rolled it out and I stepped back and I was like, huh, no one's going to eat that.
But maybe that's why buckwheat gets a bad rap. Because I think it tastes great and I love the smell of it. I could just put my face in that bag of buckwheat and just smell it. I love it.
You do that. You go right ahead and do that. That's what you want to do.
Well, I won't because we're on a radio show, but I might later. That's
okay.
Just me. Okay.
Well, I was noticing because I've also worked. So I worked with it as flour, and I ground it right here in my own kitchen here in Columbus, Ohio. But also, I was intrigued because you said you liked it so much, just like making it like rice. So I found a recipe for a buckwheat salad with dried fruit and almonds and cilantro and parsley and celery. And what I realized is, yes, it's gray food, but when you add a bunch of color to it, it's kind of a nice khaki, like your classic Gap khaki. You just match it with a nice colorful shirt, and you're good to go, daytime or evening.
It would look good in a Pottery Barn store or something. You could just set it right there on the table, and it would fit right in.
Yes, I even thought, I'm like, there's J. Crew for sure has a color called buckwheat. No doubt about it, right? And it's probably a putty gray. So if you want to know what the food looks like, yeah, they will now. don't be alarmed by its color, because it is just kind of a funny color. It's like no other food I've ever seen.
Well, really. That really could be why it gets bad, you know, why it doesn't get used as often as it could, because I do think it's, I love the texture of it. I love the smell of it. And, I mean, the taste, I guess, is like the smell. Is that how that works?
Maybe if you mix it with artichokes and papayas, you'll like those too. Just saying.
Add a little pink peppercorn, and there you go. All right, so what are you making with it today?
So today I'm going with soup, which I know sounds funny, but I wanted to go with gluten-free, because that's what, like, buckwheat's gluten-free, but it didn't necessarily, like, my first thought was blueberry pancakes, because you of all people know that this family loves breakfast for dinner. So I'm like, easy, blueberry pancakes or blueberry waffles or something like that. But that's where I got into all those ingredients that I just wasn't familiar with, like the gluten-free baking. And I didn't want to cheat and do half wheat flour, half buckwheat flour. So I shifted my thought, and I'm doing a buckwheat black bean soup. But today, so buckwheat, you know, you can have it raw, and you have the raw, they call them groats or seeds or whatnot. Or what I'm going to use in my soup today is kasha, which is the roasted version of buckwheat. And probably more mainstream these days. Kasha, don't you think? People know what that is?
Well, people have heard of it. I didn't even realize it was buckwheat. I thought it was a separate thing. And then when I started looking up buckwheat recipes and kasha kept coming up, I'm like, isn't there a cereal called that? Yeah.
Right. So it was funny because we went to the food store down the street, and, you know, it's always nerve-wracking taking your three-year-old into the bulk food section because you just never know when they're going to open one of those doors and have all the grains out. But so we bought just raw buckwheat, and then I was like, hey, Margo, let's get kasha too. And then I laughed my head off that I did it because I could have just roasted my own. I mean, I'm sure I could have just thrown the raw ones. So now I'm totally stocked up for the month. But so I bought pre-roasted, you know, someone else roasted this for me, and it's kasha. But I'm using it because I want to see what this is like in cooking as opposed to the raw. Because the raw to me at first seemed a little mushy. That was my first impression, but it really firmed up. But I just want to see what this does. So that's what I'm making, a black bean buckwheat soup that is gluten-free and vegetarian.
Oh, cool. There. Well, I'm making buckwheat. I'm making veggie burgers.
Yum.
Which I have never made before. And I've always kind of wanted to have a recipe, but I never took the time to do it. So I'm making veggie burgers with buckwheat, mushroom, and onions, basically. And right now, I started chopping my onions a little before the show started so that I get all my tears out of the way before we started. And
tears of joy.
And tears of joy, tears of onion chopping. And so right now, what I have in my pan is my onions, which I sautéed for a little bit, and the mushrooms, which I cooked a bit, and olive oil. And then I added some wine, and I added some water, and I added my buckwheat. So now the buckwheat's going to, you know, expand and do its thing, and it's going to get a lot thicker, and then we'll try and make the burgers as the show progresses. But I'm feeling
good.
A little bit nervous right now because my recipe is called Kasha Burgers, and I don't know if does it really matter if you use roasted buckwheat or buckwheat? I don't think. My buckwheat package just, well, basically it's written in Polish, but then underneath it, and I can't pronounce that, but underneath it, it says buckwheat brown, but it doesn't say roasted. So the ingredients are 100% pure buckwheat is all it says. No preservatives. So I don't know. Huh. It's in the pan. Whatever. We'll see what happens. But I'm just not sure that it matters. Does it?
Oh, it matters. No, hey, in your kitchen, you can do anything you want. You can do anything you want. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. You tried.
It doesn't matter. No one in my family is going to eat a veggie burger anyway but me.
I saw your recipe online, and it was voted, like, one of the best recipes ever invented by wherever
it
was.
There's some pressure. So let's see if I can't screw this up.
No, you're going to do just fine.
Well, real quick, we're going to take a break. But when we come back, we've got a guest today who's going to give us not so much talk us through buckwheat, but more importantly talk about gluten-free cooking and eating and living. His name is Brent Jenkins, and he has a company called Sprig that he's going to tell us about. And so, look forward to that. Tricia, anything else before we take a quick break? How's your dish coming?
Good. It's a lot of chopping up front, which I love chopping stuff and seeing it all colorful on my board. So I've got all my red peppers chopped up. I'm working on my onions. Carrots will be next. And this is the kind of recipe, mine, where I just throw everything in the pot. So I'm going to be done soon. Mm. Woohoo!
Not me. So I'm going to be watching my not-so-kasha do its thing. Okay. All right. Let's take a break. We'll be back in just a minute with Brent Jenkins from Sprig and No Chefs Allowed.
Welcome back to No Chefs Allowed. I'm Tricia Keel, and I'm cooking in my kitchen in Columbus, Ohio. And I'm here with my sister, Megan O'Connor, who's cooking in her kitchen in Chicago, Illinois. And we are about ready to bring on Brent Jenkins from Sprig. It's a gluten-free box snack subscription, but I'm going to bring him on right now so we can talk a little bit more about gluten-free living and what he does. Brent, are you on?
I am. Hi, Megan. Hi, Tricia. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. Good morning.
Okay. It's good to have you here. We're cooking with a gluten-free ingredient, and neither of us are gluten-free people, right, Megan? You're not, are you?
No.
Unless that happened.
I think you would know that. Unless that happened earlier in the day. Yeah, no.
I didn't want to assume anything. We're not gluten-free over here. But Brent, you are gluten-free, yes or no?
And that's okay. And that's okay that you're not gluten-free.
Thank you.
It's actually
for
okay
validating my existence
to not be gluten-free.
Now you and your family, are you completely gluten-free?
Our family is gluten-free. Actually, we started becoming gluten-free. I would say maybe 5 years ago. We instilled a gluten-free diet into our household.
And what prompted you to go that way?
You know, it wasn't because either my wife, daughter, or myself had any kind of disease or immunization to it. It's just, it was a way that we wanted to change the way we were eating in our home. And gluten-free was one way to start. We typically eat a plant-based raw food diet. And by bringing a gluten-free component into our lifestyle of eating, it really helped us actually in our health. We lost weight, we had more energy, we just felt better and cleaner. Gluten-free diet's not for everyone, but it is actually, a celiac disease is actually a disease that is, if someone's intolerant to gluten, it affects them as an allergy.
Right. So how about with the kids? How do you manage that? Are they?
Well, yeah. That's no easy task. I mean, considering where we live in Columbus, Ohio. Our company's founded out of Columbus, Ohio. And the gluten-free opportunities here where we live is rare. So you really have to look, if you're eating out especially, to find the place that offers a gluten-free menu. Be quite honest, a lot of restaurants in Columbus are offering that now. I would say about maybe 10 to 15% of the restaurants in Columbus have a gluten-free menu. And that's talking like big chain type restaurants.
Well, when you said that you started 5 years ago, like, that wasn't available to you 5 years ago.
Oh, no. So, no, I mean, it was not. So we were typically looking for more. We were trying to eat as much gluten-free bread as possible or any kind of gluten-free type food that we could. So that's what kind of prompted us to start our company, was this shift in our diet and the way we ate and the way we wanted everyone else to try to experience different foods that were either a raw, organic, non-GMO type gluten-free product or resource.
Well, that's funny that you talked about that, like experiencing new foods. Like, what, when you guys did go gluten-free, what was like, did you end up finding something that you discovered as one of your favorite foods that you might not have discovered if you hadn't gone gluten-free?
I'll be honest. I eat a lot of pasta, and before I actually found gluten-free pasta a few years back, I would limit myself on that. But after finding that a lot of these different rice companies and pasta companies that were either local or that I would find throughout nationwide were offering gluten-free pastas. That was probably one of our first that I can remember, and that was a long time ago. But that was more or less one of the staples in our household.
Yeah.
It was actually a gluten-free rice pasta or a gluten-free pasta.
Huh.
If it doesn't taste much different than if you pulled out a non-gluten-free pasta, it's just there's not the wheat in the pasta.
Yeah.
Wheat is in so many things.
Right. When I went shopping for my ingredients for this meal, like beans, I know, are gluten-free, but I bought canned beans for this endeavor. And I noticed on the shelf that they had labeled, there were a couple that were labeled gluten-free and then a couple that weren't. And I was like, well, I better go with the one that's labeled gluten-free because I don't really know about the other one. It could be gluten-free. But that's where I was like, this, you really have to be on your game in this society, in this world, to be gluten-free and really analyze what you're picking up at the store, right?
That's true. That's true. And more people are becoming aware of all of this. I mean, I would say over the past maybe 5 to 10 years, maybe even less than that, that more people are reading more and researching and looking at labels because they never had before. And people, I think, want to know what's in their food.
Mm-hmm.
So they're becoming investigators. And that's important.
Wow.
You should know. You should want to know what you're eating, what you're putting in your mouth day in and day out. I mean, I don't know.
It's a big commitment for sure, though. It is. I understand why, you know, myself included, you know, you want so badly to be smart about what you're eating, but you know, life takes hold of you and it's really hard, and especially because you pick up a can of beans and you really don't know. you think it's a can of beans, but the process, the stuff that goes into that can of beans could be completely different than what you expect. It's hard and it's time consuming. No question about it.
Absolutely.
So I assume, Brent, that you do eat. I mean, you guys are cooking a lot, correct? Who does the cooking in your house?
My wife does a lot of the cooking. She is the foodie. She's our snack curator for the company. So she does all the research, tries all the samples, tries all the snacks. So she is on her game when she's going to either a farmer's market or, you know, a local grocery store. So she's the one that's creating our menu for the week, And like you do, we try to find certain ingredients per month to use differently. Like, let's try this week and try cooking with it.
Yeah, well, then, and you and your wife should join our monthly ingredient challenge and be cooking with buckwheat this month.
She should. I know, because we love
she
buckwheat.
She should. So tell us about Sprig. I want to hear about Sprig because Trisha, you and Brent know each other, but I want to hear about what you're doing.
So what Sprig is it's a few things. It's actually a few great things in a box. We founded Sprig back in January of 2012.
What year is this? This is 2013.
We thought of the company back in August of 2011 because we started doing this shift in food and knowledge and education. And we started noticing a lot of things around us. Some of our close friends actually became gluten intolerant. A close mm-hmm. friend of ours has celiac disease. She's had it for 13 years, and it was all tied to wheat.
Yep.
And you'll see the spike and rise of people having celiac disease over the past, between now and the last five years, it'll ramp up because of what is in food over the past, 25 years. That's not part of Sprig, but I mean, that's part of our story. We started the company and thought of this, like, how can we get great food out to people who have no idea what great food really is?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give you a great example, and it's always someone close to home. So my mother, I'll use her as a great example, lives alone in Arizona, and she had no idea that a Whole Foods was 20 miles from her house or 15 miles from her house.
Mm-hmm.
I said, Mom, you really need to get healthier. You need to get healthier, I will. I said, man, we eat so good here in Columbus with my family. How can I get people that I love that are close to me to eat better? So I said, I really don't want to be in a delivery grocery. I want to be a delivery of groceries. I want to be a delivery of organic, natural, non-GMO, gluten-free snacks. How can I do it?
Okay.
And I said, great. I'll look at non-perishable type foods like chips, snacks, bars, fruits, grains, whatever it is. And I want to offer this to people for them to try. And every month I want it to be different for them to experience this. It's an experience. And that's mm-hmm. what people do when they order from Sprig. They get an experience. So when we started the company, we sent out our first box June of 2012. So we're coming up on our 1 year anniversary. So we did a lot of research. First, we did a lot of research on health. Before we realize what are we getting ourselves into. So we started the company, said, you know what? We want to do this. We want to offer great products. And it was nuts because this vortex of food knowledge and information would double every day. We didn't realize what we were getting into. And it's like everyone out of the woodwork from California to New York were reaching out to us, and we were reaching out to them, telling us about their products, learning about their products.
Everybody wanted to get in your box, huh?
Everyone wanted to get in our box. So now that's great because we're not just delivering great snacks. We're a marketing catapult for a lot of these companies that can't get their names out there on shelves in Whole Foods or Trader Joe's. So this is great for them. I mean, we've met people that are like 2 to 3 people, businesses that are getting crazy orders every day for their product out of Texas. We're doing great things for all these people. So it's a win-win for everyone. People are experiencing new snacks, new treats, new gems, and we're building brands for small.
So does it work like if I were in a wine of the month club or cheese of the month club or whatever? So you sign up for Sprig and every month you get some fabulous, surprise package at your doorstep? Yep. Is that how it works?
That's one way, yep. We do a couple things. We surprise you every month on a monthly recurring. We ship out on the 10th, and you get it by the 12th. Everything mm-hmm. is a two-day shipping, sometimes one day. Or if you want to send it as a gift, we have gifting mm-hmm. options where we basically handwrite the note, and we drop ship that day so we don't have to wait till the 10th. Like, say, if it's Mother's Day or a birthday or Easter or whatever, we get an order with your note. we handwrite the note out that day and we ship out the next day.
That's a much better gift than cookies for someone, huh?
Absolutely, you know, it depends. And unless it's gluten-free.
Depends on
cookies.
Your perspective.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Not for everyone.
Unless it's buckwheat cookies. No.
There you go. I like your style.
It's a great way. You know what? I really, if I could see everyone's face when they open our box, I have a great idea that they're probably not frowning. I think they're smiling.
I think you're probably right. So if I get a box and it's new every time, so I'm being exposed to new products every single time, then if there's something that I can particularly love, can I request that in my box later, or I go to that manufacturer, which I'm sure it's not in some big manufacturing house, I go to that brand's website and I order from them after that. How's that work?
Yeah, that's one way to do it. We haven't really turned into a marketplace as of yet. We're looking into doing that as far as setting up some sort of e-commerce site on ours. So, if someone like for instance, you want to know what's going out in our box next month?
It's superfood
cereal. It's superfood cereal, sprouted vegan, nut-free, raw, gluten-free, acai blueberry. Guess what the first ingredient is? I'll give you
blueberry.
A guess, and if you win, organic.
What do we get? What do we get?
You get a sprig box.
Okay.
See, we're all winners here. No chefs allowed.
Thanks.
So, all right.
Any
like
chefs
want
to be around?
Are we guessing what the first ingredient is?
Yes.
Well, I think I just told you.
Wait, you did? I missed it.
Okay, I'll give you a hint.
Okay.
Eddie Murphy.
Buckwheat.
Buckwheat!
Yeah, woo! We got a winner.
Awesome.
Buckwheat
made out
of
cereal made out of buckwheat.
If you like the product that's in your box, you know, you're going to have maybe a challenge trying to find it directly from a vendor, because sometimes a lot of these vendors just don't ship out one product, so you end up buying cases of it or a case. So
yeah.
we want to change that a little bit so people like what they've got in the box and, hey, you know what? Man, I really love your superfood cereal with the buckwheat in it. Where can I get some of that? Well, you can go directly to the...
Yeah, because how bummed would you be if you fall in love with something and then you just can't... You're like, I want it. I'm the kind of person that once I love something, I eat it every day. At the same time, every day until I completely make myself sick of it.
I
would be so bummed if I couldn't get myself a little s'more.
Right. So we've learned over the past 12 months, you know, we've collected some data and research and find out what people like and what people didn't like. So there we would want to put the product on our site and work with the vendor and try to at least fulfill our customers' desires if they want to order product at some point.
Yeah,
that sounds good.
Something else we started doing is we now do a lot of these different corporate events for companies. One of them we just did for a local ad agency. We had basically put a box together for them. We fulfilled all the snacks in the box, and then we put their branding on the box.
Mm-hmm.
So when they're handing these boxes out, it'll be fulfilled by Sprig, but it's by this company's name. And it was a unique way for them to say, hey, we care about your health. We're not going to give you a plate of cookies or brownies or et cetera. Nothing is a bad.
Unless they're made of buckwheat. And then
unless they're made of buckwheat. And then they're good. This is just something, you know, a little bit more unique, fun, and exciting to try. And again, Sprig is an experience. You're trying new things. You're thinking about what you're eating. You're learning a little bit about the food that you're putting in your mouth. And it's a win-win for everyone.
That's
true. But the other thing about it is when you make the decision to, you know, if you make the decision to go gluten-free, I mean, it's hard. It's hard work to get yourself into.
It's very hard.
And so what Sprig offers is a little reprieve, right? I mean, you know when everything that came in that box is okay. You know,
Right.
I can enjoy this, and I don't have to stress out about it. I can feed it to my kids. I can throw it in their lunchbox, whatever, and I don't have to worry about it. So it really is kind of a a reprieve, I would say, from the hard work of trying, you know, as we all do, trying to find the best food and meals for ourselves and our families. Yeah.
Yep.
Speaking of
we're
good food,
I have a
burger here. What? I'm sorry.
We're going to give everyone a reprieve from No Chefs Allowed and Brent right now because we need to go to break.
Okay.
And then we come back. We'll talk to Brent a little bit more, and I want to find out how your veggie burgers are coming, Megan. Although it seems like a veggie burger without veggies, your buckwheat burger. And I'll let you know how my soup is coming along too, because I've been cooking over here. So let's take a break from No Chefs Allowed, and we'll be right back.
Welcome back, everybody, to No Chefs Allowed. I'm Megan O'Connor here in my kitchen cooking up some kasha burgers in my kitchen in Chicago. And I'm here with my sister, Trisha, who is in Columbus, Ohio, in her kitchen making soup.
Yep, kasha. Black bean soup. I think we've discovered that you're not cooking with kasha. You're cooking with raw buckwheat.
Well, and okay. It doesn't matter because the recipe is called kasha burgers. So that's what I'm making.
So you probably did need kasha. But that's okay.
Well,
keep going.
It's okay. It's okay. Anyway, folks, we're not going to analyze my kasha burgers quite yet. We are here with Brent Jenkins from Sprig. His company delivers fabulous gluten-free snacks to your door. So his website is called sprigbox.com, and Brent's been with us talking about what he does, what he and his wife do, and the business they started, and it sounds really, really like a wonderful little reprieve from trying to work so hard to find gluten-free foods if in fact you're a gluten-free family or you either have to or want to have a gluten-free diet. So, Brent, tell us, we've got a couple of questions for you, but what's your favorite recipe with buckwheat? We got to know.
My favorite recipe actually is buckwheat pancakes.
Mm. So tell me about that. Because besides the buckwheat, what else do you put in there?
Besides the buckwheat, what else is in there?
He already said he's not cooked. His wife is a cook, and now you're putting all this pressure on him.
Right, okay, I'll email her.
No, it's cool. It's always cool. I kind of know the recipe by heart. basically, there's about 2 cups of almond milk and 1.5 cup of buckwheat flour. We put dates, vanilla, and a little bit of salt and cinnamon, and a little bit of lemon juice. And then either we'll make a blueberry or strawberry or cherry sauce on top.
So no other type of, gluten-free flour or no sorghum something or other for binding or just the buckwheat flour?
That's it.
Wow.
It's gluten-free, all gluten-free.
I want to try that. I'd love for you to forward that recipe to No Chefs Allowed and we can put it up on
Absolutely.
Our site.
I'll post it as soon as I'm off the radio.
Awesome.
All right. Looky there.
Okay. So, Brent, tell us what you have for these fine folks. No, tell us what you have, how people can get a Sprig box. How they can find more.
Probably the easiest way to find out about us is either go to our website. Our website has different recipes. It talks a lot about the company. We also have, if you want to visit our Facebook page, you're more than welcome to do that. As well as our Twitter page. Our Facebook page is, you can actually find off our website and our Twitter page from sprigbox.com. That's sprigbox.com.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
that's probably the easiest way to find out more about it.
And so you're probably creating like a gluten-free community on some of those social networks, huh?
We are. We've reached out to a lot of different advocates in this gluten-free revolution, and we've made a lot of friends, a lot of connections. So it's a really good thing.
Cool. And so people can just order right on SprigBox.com.
You can go to SprigBox.com, and we also have a great promotion as of today for our No Chefs Allowed radio talk.
Awesome.
Snack 15, S-N-A-C-K, 15, no spaces, doesn't have to be uppercase or lowercase, doesn't matter. And put that in your promo code box when you order, and you'll get 15% off your first month's box.
Great.
Cool. Okay, say that again. What's the promo code? Because I want snack. One, and I got to write it down.
Snack 15, S-N-A-C-K,
Snack 15. Box.
Snack 15, 15% off your first month. Signing up is really easy to do, and our process is very, very simple.
Should we say something like, if you call now, you'll receive 15% off your first order. Don't delay.
If your order comes in today, our cutoff is typically the first of every month. So when we ship out, we want to make sure that you're getting the freshest product. So when you sign up, either you'll be made aware of when our dates of the box will ship out. So
cool.
Oh, that's cool. Because if you sign up on the 11th of the month, you've just shipped on the 10th, so you wait till the next month. But you will keep me informed. I will be an informed consumer if I work with Sprig. So that's good to know.
You will know.
Good. Well, cool.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Brent, for being on the show today and kind of enlightening us on not just gluten-free diets, but what you're doing for the gluten-free community. And I am going to order my box. I'm kind of excited about it.
Thanks. Well, we're excited to have you as part of the Sprig family.
All right. I love that.
Don't get a new family, Megan. I'm your family.
I'm moving to the Sprig
all
family.
Mine.
They can be your extended family, but no, I'm your family. Brent, you're done. I'm saying bye.
You're out of here. You're out of here. You're done.
Have a great day, girls. Thanks.
Family. Hey, thanks. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks so much, Brent.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. I'm going to have to go in counseling if you get a new family. Just kidding. Okay, let me tell you that my soup is, from the beginning to the end of the show, my soup is on the stove. So I'm excited. It's kind of a chili type, it's kind of like a veggie chili type thing with not roasted red peppers, but that would be good. Red peppers and corn and black beans and carrots and onions.
It's radio. Pretend they're roasted red peppers.
I should have roasted them because I have extra time. But as soon as this all simmers together and my buckwheat, or my kasha, because that's what I use in this, is cooked through, then I just finish it off with some lime and I'm good to go. Done.
Well,
dinner is done.
Dinner is done and done. Yeah. Well, mine's not done, but I just put my first burger on the griddle. And it's not that griddle that I used to use that was all crooked, just so you know, so you can imagine, because Trisha makes fun of my cookware.
Megan's kitchen is like home of the misfit pans. That's Megan's kitchen. And this griddle pan that she had me use once to make French toast when we were there visiting, I was like, you have got to be kidding me. It wouldn't even sit level.
The look on your face when you grabbed it and you lifted it up and you're like, this is it? This is what you use? Well, it was but funny. Not anymore because I was feeling self-conscious and I got some new cookware. Thank you very much. But
I'm glad I can make
anyway,
you feel inadequate.
Yeah, thank you. That's what sisters are for. So my first burger is on the griddle. And I don't really know what it's supposed to look like. I probably should have looked on the picture and the recipe. But And I really don't know what this kasha business. I've got to do a little research on that, I guess. I've got a whole month to do it, thankfully, since it's the monthly ingredient. But it smells good.
I'm impressed because every time I look at learning a veggie burger, the list of ingredients is usually so long with lots of spices, which makes sense. But now it's funny because since No Chefs Allowed and since we did that spice show, like now spices don't scare me at all. So I think I should try to tackle a veggie burger again because I'm sure I have most of the spices right here in my kitchen already now.
Yeah.
Where
this
before.
Is good. This is kind of good. All right.
Are you going to put it on a bed? What's the texture like?
Oh, it's falling apart. It's reminding me of my crepe.
Yeah, what's going on over there?
I don't know. I can't keep anything together. I'm falling apart.
Maybe you need to talk to your new gluten-free family at Sprigbox. They'll help you. They'll support you and help you.
Because obviously my current family is not working out. Okay. I don't know if my burger's falling apart. I guess you just have to get your spatula all the way under it and slide it on the bun. And then if it falls apart at that point, you act like it's just the person eating it. It's not my fault.
Well, tell me what's in it, because did you use an egg to bind it? I mean, how is it?
No, but this recipe isn't actually gluten-free because they have you put flour in it at the end.
Yeah, you're not gluten-free unless you find a gluten-free flour. See, that's what I was saying. Like, when we said we were going to try to do a gluten-free show with buckwheat, like, I searched, and there were tons of recipes. I really wanted to make buckwheat pasta or soba noodles. Mm-hmm. From scratch, but I was like, but that's not gluten-free. So it was kind of hard to find something that was just, without knowing how to gluten-free bake, maybe we should do a show on that, but without knowing that, it was kind of hard to find a recipe.
I would say, so this burger is not gluten-free, but it is pretty good. So if you are veggie, or if you want a veggie burger, I would suggest this one. It is really flavorful, even though I really didn't add anything but a little bit of salt to it. The mushrooms and the onions. I cooked it, and I did use sunflower oil, but I don't think that made any difference versus corn oil or olive oil. But it's really good.
Did you do that recipe?
I stole off of epicurious.com, but we'll get it on our website as well at nochefsallowed.com. But this is a good one to try if you want a vegetarian burger, I think. I'm pretty impressed with it, actually.
I guess it wouldn't be gluten-free because you're going to put it on a bun.
Yeah, that too. That too. Oh, unless something fabulous comes in your sprig box that looks like a bun but isn't.
Yeah, that's true. I'm excited for a sprig box myself because I like being exposed to little like boutique type foodie places.
Well, so this boutique type foodie place shows up right at your front door.
Yeah, that's always nice too.
And it was really nice of him to give us the 15% off for our listeners. Snack 15. Don't forget, guys. Snack 15.
At sprigbox.com.
Yeah, sprigbox.com. We'll put that on our website, too, and we'll do a little Facebooking.
So we're halfway through March, almost. March. I never know what month that is. May. So what else do you plan on using buckwheat for this month? You have any other ideas?
One thing I want to do is try it for breakfast. I was laughing because in looking up recipes, buckwheat porridge comes up, which doesn't sound that appetizing, but also gruel. And I don't know how many years I've told my kids when they ask what's for dinner, I say gruel, but I didn't really know what gruel was except that it sounded bad. So I might just have to make some buckwheat gruel. Fulfill on my promise that that's what we're having for dinner tonight, buckwheat gruel. So I might do that, which is basically porridge. You know, it's like...
Right. I don't know. Use the word porridge. I think you'll have an easier sell if you use the word porridge.
I'm not trying to sell it if I call it gruel. It's punishment, man.
Don't say that.
Don't ask me what's for dinner one more time. You're getting gruel.
That's hysterical. I get to see Kellen breaking down in tears right after
no,
that.
No, gruel, no. She'll just add Nutella to it or something. She's like the queen of condiments.
Yeah. So I'm gonna make buckwheat noodles. I'm really excited about it.
Wow, you're good. You're good.
Well, thank you.
I don't think I'm gonna get that far, but
yeah,
I definitely want to try. There's a pudding recipe out there that I thought looked kind of interesting, which I think might taste kind of like tapioca pudding. You know, kind of that same
rice pudding.
Yeah. So I think I'll try that, and And I would like to try and do something to bake with it. Although I personally am not a baker. You know, like I don't bake bread. I'm not good at baking. I much prefer cooking, which isn't so much chemistry. But I think I will try this month to do something with baking.
Yeah, give it a shot. It's just I feel like you have to buy some funky ingredients. So you should probably have a friend who's into gluten-free baking as well so you can gift her all of those ingredients that you're not going to use after this month. I'm just saying.
I have a friend who's gluten-free who has celiac disease, and I think that I will have her over for dinner this month and try some of this out. But to our point, I haven't yet used buckwheat and made a gluten-free dish. Well, I guess I have because the first thing I did was I did just boiled buckwheat, which was tasty. But my crepes were not gluten-free. This burger is not gluten-free. So it is, you know, just by virtue of using buckwheat does not give you the gluten-free pass.
So. Awesome. Well, it looks like it's about time for us to go, but I just want to encourage everyone to join us at nochefsallowed.com. And join the monthly ingredient challenge. We love to hear what other people are making with it. And you can connect with us at No Chefs Allowed on Facebook or through Twitter at our handles at No Chefs Allowed. So if you have any questions where we can go find the answers if we don't know them, definitely reach out because we love to cook together no matter where you live.
That's right. All right. Well, thanks again to Brent and SprigBox.com. And thanks again to Heritage Radio. And we will be back next Monday, same time. So turn on your HeritageRadio.com in your kitchen while you're making dinner next Monday at 5 o'clock Central, 6 o'clock Eastern. And we will be back then with No Chefs Allowed.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.